Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Let us pray. Lord, we all have been foreigners in a sense. We've been new to different places in life, to different countries. We all have relatives that came to the United States, and they were foreigners. They were brand new. And somehow they were welcomed. And now, as a Chinese church, we have this wonderful privilege and opportunity to welcome people that come to the shore of the United States. And help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be a vessel, a conduit of your ministry and love to others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This text is really a fascinating text. I'm sure it challenged the Jewish people at the time who thought that they were the only ones. And in the Old Testament, you have this text really revealing God's heart, his love for others, and his intent that the community also love others. I remember one time in the 1990s when I was pastoring a small church, very dysfunctional church, I must say. I love everybody, and nobody knows where it is, so you don't know. But I was in this church and helping it to survive, and my wife and I, and not my wife Josephine, my first wife who died, we adopted a student who was at a military college to be his host parents. And he eventually became, his name was Dominic Gingere, he became the chief of staff of the Burkina Faso Army. Can you believe it? Now, we never know where students are going to wind up. I mean, some of the students here, they're not looking too good, you know. No, I'm only joking with you. You never know where you wind up. And some of us wound up in the Chinese church. Look where I wound up. So you never know where people wind up that God places in your life to minister to. And that's the great joy and privilege of a campus minister. We have two campus pastors here today. Pastors. Ministers to students. And we are very privileged. Now, I've read two books. One book was on a date with my wife. Sometimes we do a date. We go to Barnes & Noble, and we skim through books. And I skimmed through a book once. It's right here, called Fortunate Sons, the next slide. Has anyone read this book? This is a fascinating book. Because, you know, you look at the history of Chinese in America, it's really quite fascinating. But most often, the Chinese in America in the very early years were coming here to make some resources, to leave Canton. But 1872, the Chinese government sent 120 boys to America. Boys, little boys. Are those little boys there? Are they lady boys like that? There's some here that I see. Maybe you too. Sent to the United States to study for 15 years and go back. And the whole goal was for these young boys to experience knowledge and wisdom and to take that back to the Qing Dynasty, which was trying to modernize. And what was very interesting about this is that there, if you can imagine, in the 1800s, there is a cultural barrier between Americans and Chinese. And by the way, only 10 years later, the Chinese Exclusionary Act was passed. But at this time, there was a welcoming concept. And these Chinese boys settled in homes of Americans. And there's one story I want you to tell. Well, the thing that I want to say is that they were influenced so much that they went back to China, and they almost all of them became significant leaders and contributors to China. But Christianity and impacting these boys in the very beginning was kind of interesting. There's an account in Connecticut where two little boys were told by their parents, "We want you to go to Sunday school." The little boys were excited. "Oh, I'm going to school." So they dressed up, they put their best suit on, and they went off to Sunday school. They walked into the building. Everybody was looking at them. There was a cross. There was singing. And they were petrified and they ran away. They ran back to their home, out the building, back to their home, because they thought that they were going to be forcibly converted to Christianity. And so the house parents had to go back and explain to them, no, we just do this. We just normally go to church. You're not going to be converted. And you're welcome. And so that's one of the first interesting experiences. Next slide is another book I read, which I really recommended. This book, a biography of John Sung, published by InterVarsity in the 50s. Okay, InterVarsity in the 50s. John Stott wrote the foreword to this. Tells a story of probably the greatest preacher ever in the history of China. He came to the United States, son of a Methodist. Go to the next slide. He finished his bachelor's degree in 23, and a few years later had completed his doctoral degree with honors. Brilliant student. Then he wound up going to a liberal seminary. Lost his faith. Lost his faith totally. And then it came back to him, and the school thought he went crazy. They threw him in an insane asylum for 6 months. Does anybody know the story? Threw him in an insane asylum. Finally, the ambassadors had to take him out. He went back to China, and he impacted China and the Pacific Rim, Malaysia, Singapore, Methodist preacher, powerful preacher. He was a student in the United States. I raise this issue to say that we as Christians here in America have a great privilege and opportunity to share our love and our friendship with the many foreign students that we have. And one of the ways we can do it is a Chinese church, and we have. We've already supported financially these two ministries, and we've asked them to come share their vision, their ministry, a little about their life, and just to share with us as brothers and sisters. And I think we have two sisters that are leaders. There are brothers out there doing this, right? There are. But, you know, I find quite often the people that do the hardest work in the ministry are often female. Seriously. And so they have a challenging work to pioneer, to develop, and to minister to people. So I want to welcome first InterVarsity, Anna Rich. InterVarsity is probably, I think it's the largest campus ministry. It may be, I don't know, she can clarify you. But it is a very significant ministry. In universities that I have been, it has always been there. Anna?
Is this better? Oh, yes. Hi, everyone. Good morning. I'm not quite as tall as you are, Don.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I'm honored and grateful to be here and grateful for the overture of love and grace that your church has given in supporting campus ministry at Georgetown financially and in prayer. It's a huge blessing. I wanted to share first a little bit about InterVarsity as a whole. We are an intentionally multi-ethnic, interdenominational and ecumenical Christian ministry to university and college campuses all over the country. And what that means is it's Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all together learning from each other's traditions and being grounded in God's word together. And one of the things that means is that we get really good at working through our differences within the love and grace of Christ. We really care about pursuing God's heart for justice and reconciliation, both here in our city and around the world. We love studying the scriptures deeply and inductively, and we think it's healthy and important to embrace and wrestle with hard questions, trusting that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, as Jesus promised his disciples in John 16. We love reaching out to share God's word with others, to share his love, and reaching out can feel like quite a risk to students, but as I often remind them, one of the best ways to get to know God better is to have some shared experiences with him. So in InterVarsity, I really encourage my students to hear what God has to say to us in his word and to give Jesus a shot and take a risk of obedience. And then we always talk about it together and give it another try. InterVarsity USA has international roots. InterVarsity began in England in 1877, and in 1938, the Canadian InterVarsity movement sent a man named Stacy Woods to the University of Michigan to meet with American college students to help them form an InterVarsity movement. So that was 1938. And our international connections are much wider now. We are a founding member of an international fellowship of campus ministries called IFES, the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. That was founded in 1947 when leaders and students from 10 Christian student movements from around the world met to form a global fellowship. And the largest of those 10 movements was the China InterVarsity Fellowship. They, along with the other founding groups, had a vision and hope that there would be a clear witness to the Lord Jesus established in every university in the world. And we're making progress on that. There are currently 168 countries with an IFES group present and active there, including several Pacific Rim countries, and I think covertly still in China. I love that. Christian Chinese college students helped build this huge legacy of faith and hope in God's kingdom, which is a beautiful gift to the whole world and to us here today and at Georgetown. Being a part of IFES is a wonderful part of life in Georgetown InterVarsity. It means that wherever Georgetown students study abroad or whatever countries they've come to us from, we can usually connect them with a local indigenous Christian movement in that country because of these partnerships we have around the world. So, for example, my student Hannah studied abroad in Sri Lanka last summer, and she stayed with the Sri Lankan ministry leader and his family. And when Singaporean students return to Singapore after their studies in the U.S., we can connect them with a missional and active Christian community in Singapore. And I actually have two students in Burkina Faso right now, and we've connected them with ministers there. So it's a really, as their campus minister who loves them a lot, it makes me feel a lot more comfortable to know that I can sort of entrust them to the faithful people of God all over the world. So we have community internationally, and then we also have the international community coming to us, as you well know. Of the incoming freshman class this year at Georgetown, 294 of those students are international students. They represent 70 countries, and the top three are China, the United Kingdom, and South Korea. So we can pursue that vision for a worldwide witness to the good news right on Georgetown's campus. I thought you also might be interested to know how InterVarsity is investing in God's kingdom in China now, sort of a reciprocation for their grace in investing in us. We call it our Silk Road Global Project. Every summer, InterVarsity students from across the Mid-Atlantic region go to Western China. They're actually there right now as we speak. And they're doing a language exchange program where they live and study and share life, including Christ, with college-age Chinese friends. I'd be happy to share more about that privately if anyone wants to hear more. A little bit about me. A lot of my upbringing has shaped the way that I serve on campus and why I feel called to do this work. I grew up in a Christian home. My mother comes from a godly, strong, faithful family, and my father became a Christian when he was about 26 or 27. He converted from Judaism. And so it was this wonderful spiritual environment to grow up in, someone who'd been steeped in the faith her whole life, and someone who converted as an adult. I always had a lot of questions and doubts, and my parents welcomed and encouraged those questions. They taught me how to look for answers, and they never viewed my challenges as threatening or inappropriate. They taught me that it was healthy and good to wrestle with the hard things, and that God welcomed my honesty and curiosity. He loved me and wanted the relationship we shared to be healthy and whole. And that really gave me the space to learn to trust God and to learn to love him and to respond to him in love rather than fear or for cultural reasons. So in college, when it came time for me to really settle down with a major, I realized that the questions I cared about most and found most interesting and meaningful for real life were and still are these big questions about God that my parents had given me the space to ask. So I majored in biblical and theological studies, and then I went on to do a master's degree in theological ethics in Scotland, which was my own small taste of being an international student. I remember how warmly I was welcomed by Scottish people and cared for there, and that's inspired a lot of the way that I try to love and care for international students when they come to us. So when I was in grad school, I was very involved with our campus ministry, which is the British member group of IFES, and I met an undergrad there named Claire, and she had just become a Christian the semester before I met her, and she's the first Christian in her family, so everything was new to her, and she was full of questions and challenges. And I always think back, my spiritual friendship with Claire is really where God started to draw my heart toward loving and caring for college students. It's where I began to wish that I could do something like that professionally, and it turns out you can. And then the grace of my parents and my professors when I was wrestling and full of challenges and doubts, that grace equipped me to encourage and support and challenge Claire as she thought critically about this Jesus that she was getting involved with. One of the best phone calls I've ever received was from Claire. It was around 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and I was out with friends. And she called, and she was weeping, and so I rushed outside so I could hear her better. I was sure she was in some kind of major trouble. And it turns out Claire had been crying for over an hour, and she couldn't stop, and she didn't know what to do, and so she called me. Claire was crying because she had realized for the first time that it wasn't just that Jesus had died, but that Jesus had died for her. And it completely overwhelmed her. And we talked for so long that night, just processing how much God loves her and how good and rich and full God's love is and what it means for our lives. It was the most beautiful phone call I've ever been on. And it was such a thrill to get to be the person that Claire would call in a moment like that, full of emotion, full of questions, and really experiencing the Holy Spirit pressing on her heart. It felt amazing to tell her the truth about God's love and his mercy and his grace and the hope that she had in him. And that kind of phone call happens all the time. A lot of college students don't know how much God loves them. They don't know that they can base their identity and sense of self-worth in Christ as opposed to their transcripts and resumes, which is a big problem at Georgetown. Transcript and resume can rule your entire life if you let it. And so they don't know that they can have freedom and peace and still pursue excellence in Christ. They don't know that Jesus is for life now and not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. They don't know that there is healing and hope and fullness in Christ's love, or that they have purpose in his kingdom. And so we, as campus ministers, we go to them. We go to campus. That's our mission field, because we want them to see and understand the good news and to offer them the deep, deep love of Jesus that can heal and redeem and restore them. And that's the foundation of InterVarsity's purpose nationally and at Georgetown. Our purpose statement is this, and I love it, so I wrote it out. In response to God's love, grace, and truth, our purpose is to establish and advance at colleges and universities, witnessing communities of students and faculty who follow Jesus as Savior and as Lord, growing in love for God, God's word, God's people of every ethnicity and culture, and God's purposes in the world. I love that first line because it always takes me back to 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. The first overture in our lives is God's love and grace. And so it's in response to God's love, grace, and truth. And that's the core of why Bonnie and I do what we do in our different ministries. And I think it's the core of why you've chosen to love and bless us with your gifts and your prayers. I think those of you maybe who are parents and grandparents will especially understand that it means the world when someone loves and cares for the people that you love. And so I want to thank you for loving and caring for Georgetown students with us. It is a blessing and a gift and a deep encouragement to our work. And we're honored and grateful that you would choose to love these students in Christ's name. So thank you.
Thank you for your ministry, Anna. And next, Bonnie Duncan. Now, I have to say, Bonnie is a replacement hitter because the actual person who was coming, Brittany, is going to have a baby in how many minutes? Any second. So Bonnie's the director of the Chi Alpha ministry at Georgetown. Okay.
Thanks, Pastor Don. Yeah, I was like, Brittany, you're supposed to speak at Chinese Community Church today. You can't have a baby at this time. But I'm very, very happy to be here. Like Pastor Don mentioned, I'm the director at Chi Alpha at Georgetown. And 7 years ago, I got to Georgetown as an incoming freshman. And my very first day of school, there was this group passing out snow cones outside of my freshman dorm. They asked me if I wanted a snow cone, and I said yes, and then they told me afterwards that they had a service, a Christian service, that was meeting in the basement of one of our sophomore residence halls. And so when I got there, there were six students there. It was in this small, dark basement. It wasn't dark, actually. That's dramatic. It was, but the door was left open to the laundry room, so it was so hot, and everyone was sweating. And that was my first experience with Chi Alpha. And what kept me coming back wasn't the room, but it was the people there who I really felt that they could be the community of people that I spent my next 4 years with. And Chi Alpha had such a transformative impact on my life that when I graduated, it was a no-brainer. There was nothing else that I wanted to do but to go into Chi Alpha, because I have this unique privilege, both as a student and then now as the pastor, of seeing students whose lives are completely transformed. And I'll tell you about a few of those later. But so like Pastor Don mentioned, I am representing the DC Chi Alpha team. So we're on campuses at American University and Georgetown University. What Chi Alpha stands for, it comes from the Greek Christo Apostolai, which means Christ ambassadors. So we believe that on our college campuses that we get to be ambassadors and representatives for Christ. And as our DC team that's in DC, we have this, it's a joke, but it's also very serious. Whenever we talk to each other, we always say city heart. We want to cultivate that city heart, and we believe that DC is one of the most strategic missions fields in the world. Our students who graduate from Georgetown go on and they become our future world leaders. We have former President Bill Clinton, King Abdullah of Jordan. We have the former the president and CEOs of Bank of America and AOL and the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. We're all graduates of Georgetown University. So there's this idea that if you can transform students while they're in the university, then you can in turn transform the world. And I want to tell you a couple of stories about two Chinese students in our ministry, and then brought XY, he's a student at American University, and then after he'll come up and he'll share a bit about his experience coming here and encountering Chi Alpha. But there is a student, her name was Erin, and she came to college. She came to one of our Friday night ministries. We call it XAI, or Chi Alpha International. And so what we try to do in our international student ministry is just create an environment where students can come and really make friends and feel like they belong, because that's the biggest thing we hear from international students, is that it's incredibly hard to make friends and to find that sense of community. So she came to Chi Alpha. She had never heard of Jesus before, did not know what the gospel was, had no idea why the Bible was divided up into two parts and what that meant and who Jesus was. But she kept coming to Chi Alpha, and then she started coming early to help us set up, and then she started staying late, and then she started coming to our student leadership meetings. And all the while, she still hadn't accepted Jesus, but she was so drawn by this community that she had found. And then when she was in her second year of grad school, she studied, it's a science, like biology and technology combined. Not a science person, I should know what she studied. But it was her second year there, and she accepted Jesus and was one of our first students in Chi Alpha to get baptized. And then fast forward to the end of the year, we do this thing called final thoughts at our services, and it's where the seniors or the graduating students get a chance to share with the community what they would like to leave them with, share with the younger students. And I'll never forget what she said when she got up. She started to share a bit of her life story that she had never shared with any of us before. And she said that growing up, she was an only child in China, and she was sent to a boarding school at a very young age. And she said that she never knew what it was like to have a family. And so when she came to Georgetown, she said not only was it the first time in her life that she had real friends, but it was the first time she ever felt like she belonged to a family. And I'll never forget that. And she knew, she's like, I knew in that moment that I had a father in God, and that this family he had given me was a gift for me. And I saw that her life was incredibly transformed by that freedom and by that love that Jesus gives. Then there's another student, his name is Johnny, and he has a similar story. He came from China, had never heard the gospel before, didn't know who Jesus was, and he came to one of our Alpha courses. So the Alpha course is sort of Christianity 101. It's over dinner, and it's over conversation, and it's just talking about these very basic parts of faith. And that is where he learned about Jesus for the very first time, and that's where he became a Christian. And now he's one of our leaders in Chi Alpha. And it's very funny because he actually graduated and he came back this past year to do our leadership training course. And at first I thought that that was a little weird because it's usually for current students. We were going around the room and everyone was talking about why they were doing the course. And it got to him and he said, even though I already graduated, I know that my calling in life is to make disciples and to let other people know who Jesus is, and I want to spend the rest of my life doing that, and I want to learn how to do that here. And it's just such an incredible story about how God is bringing the nations to Georgetown and to American University and really entrusting all of us with the process of welcoming, with the gift of welcoming the men and loving them and showing them who Christ is by our actions and by our words. And I remember him saying once at an Alpha course that he was now leading, and he said that if it wasn't for a group on campus like Chi Alpha or like InterVarsity, he would still never know who Jesus was, which is a crazy thing to think about, how we have that kind of power to tell somebody about Jesus for the very first time. And we get to see that happen every single day in our jobs on campus, and in our interactions with students. And so to close, I'm gonna bring up XY. He's a student at American University, and he's just gonna share a little bit about his story in Chi Alpha.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
大家早晨. 大家早安. 早安. I just wanted to test that out. hello, everyone. My name is XY Lau, or Liu Xiangyi in Mandarin, or Lao Qiongai in Cantonese. My family is Chinese. We're from South China, but about 100 years ago, they fled poverty going on, and they moved down into Malaysia. So I was born in Malaysia. When I was born, China was starting to boom, and so we moved the family back up to Shanghai. So that's where I grew up. And growing up, I went to an international school, the Shanghai American School. And I feel like a lot of us can actually, those of us who actually grew up here in the U.S., feel that clash of cultures going on. I go at home, my family, my parents are bringing me up one way. And then I go into school, this American school, and they're teaching me a whole different set of values. And my entire life, it's been a constant struggle between who do I believe, who do I go. And both sides are telling me two different things on how I should live my life, you know. And I feel like some of us can actually understand that. And so I grew up very confused as to what exactly my purpose in life was, as to why am I here? And it didn't actually get any better when I graduated from high school and I went to American University, because what happened was, when I finally showed up, I was even more lost. I couldn't find a group that could fit, because the Chinese students that were there, they didn't really accept me as a true Chinese person, because I was not really born or raised in Shanghai or in China. My Mandarin is too south for the north, and it's and for the Malaysian Chinese, it's too north for the south. You know what I'm saying? And so through it all, I really couldn't find my place anywhere until I arrived at Chi Alpha Campus Ministries. And going in there, I realized that I walked into a place where, for the first time, I'm in a community where not everyone is Chinese. And for some reason, I felt more welcome there than I felt anywhere else, because I realized something. I realized that for the first time, I was in a place where they, where the community did not demand anything from me, where I did not have to be anybody to be in that community. They just wanted me. They wanted to love who I was. And yeah, that was, looking back now, it's the way that God used this community to transform me, and his transforming love has stayed with me. I stuck with Chi Alpha, and I became a small group leader, a Bible study leader, and I am now a mentor for a bunch of different students. And through it all, I've learned so much. I've been on a couple of missions trips, and through it all, I got inspired to start my own homeless ministry. So we have a ministry that works in D.C. Every other Saturday, we go out there and we preach to the homeless, and we pray over them and we give them food. And I also got involved with Chi Alpha International, which is I feel like something that resonates with all of us, because when I go back home to Shanghai, when I go home to a church in Shanghai, I have to bring my Malaysian passport to the door, because they don't allow for any local citizens in China to go to an international church. See, the local churches, their pastors have to give in their sermons to the government and make sure that it's not saying anything subversive and the government's trying to dampen down the gospel message. But then when I go to an international church, I have to bring my passport to the door and tell them, look, I am not a Chinese citizen, therefore please allow me to come into this church. So what that means, if anything, is a majority of the Chinese people, despite the best efforts of missionaries to go in there, that effort has been suppressed in a lot of different ways, because it becomes illegal. But then that's what makes a campus ministry all the way on the other side of the world so much more important. Because all of a sudden, these families are sending their Chinese kids, like the Fortunate Sons, into the United States. And we have a 4-year window to preach the gospel of Christ to them without anyone telling us that we should not be doing this. We have 4 years to reach out to them. And the amazing thing is, I've seen so many lives transformed through this. I've seen Wendy from Georgetown. She came with us to one of these missionary trips, and she was completely transformed. And her whole life, she has not heard. A lot of people don't know who Jesus is, but for the first time, through being with us in campus ministry, we're able to reach out to these Chinese students, and we're able to preach the gospel to them. And not only that, and here's the important thing: they're able to bring it back to their families back at home. See, it's one thing for a missionary to go into China and preach the message and be suppressed. It's another thing for someone to have their lives transformed in the United States and bring it back to their families. And we hear stories of these people choosing to go the harder road by converting to Christ, because they found something even more important than their status quo. And so, yeah, that's and I've been working along with that. And I guess, if anything, the fact that God put me in this position, someone who really doesn't belong to here or there, that I've been able to see all of that, and it's just been so transforming, and I can feel God's love wherever I go in this world. And so and the fact that you guys helped sponsor us, I realize that a big part of the reason why I'm here today is because you guys helped support us, and I am so grateful for that, and thank you very much.
So now, what we are going to do is we're going to have a time of prayer, and Joanne is going to help lead us in that. And I just want to remind you that we have offering that will be collected after that, and I encourage you to give. Give generously. It's important. The Chinese church, you know, churches are never run free. So we do encourage you to give here and to support the ministry of the church.
Bonnie and their respective ministries, IVCF and Chi Alpha. So if you guys could come up, and the rest of us, if we can just be in quiet meditation and prayer and listening, we'll give our support up to the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the transforming power of your love, Lord. We pray for these campus ministries. We pray for Anna in InterVarsity, for Georgetown, for the students already coming in this coming fall, Lord, for hearts to be changed, for the leaders to be prepped, and for the work that you have in store for them. We pray for open and willing hearts. We pray against those that might deter them from their mission and their work, Lord. I pray for encouragement. I pray for strength. And again, just that your love transform lives, Lord. Would you bring future leaders of the world through them and through their ministries so that they can impart your love and your wisdom wherever they go. And we give you thanks for the lives already changed. And again, just pray that mission and that love continue.
Father, we thank you for bringing our visitors here today. We thank you for just reminding us of all the things that you've done for us and for them and for all the students across the world. We're a very closed family. We're a very closed church. We offer thanks for this reminder that there's more to this Christian community than just this church, that there is a whole world out there that needs to be reached. And we offer thanks for this small token as a reminder that there's still a lot of work to be done. We thank you for the message today. And we ask that you continue to help us to work and to do your work. We offer, what little we can to make sure that your word gets spread. We ask that you work us to make sure that our hearts are open, our minds are open, that we will continue to support and to praise and to honor your name. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we do thank you so much for the ministry of Chi Alpha. It's amazing to hear how you have worked in the individual lives and around the world. And we thank you that that you are just inspiring of it all. We pray that you would continue to use them and instill in their hearts just that joy of you. So we thank you and we praise you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. And at this time, we would like to do the offertory. So if the ushers would come forward. And just at the same time, if you guys would join us as well in the song of response. The words, I think, are especially sweet. I'll go where you want me to go.